Friends, welcome back. And now we move on to the last chapter of our subject, Production and Operations Management. And the name of the chapter is How to Accomplish Our Goals. Because all these 16 chapters, we have seen something. We have seen many, many things. But why we are doing all these things? To accomplish our goals. What are our goals? How to accomplish them? That is what we are going to discuss. First of all, we should be very clear about our goals. And optimum utilization of our resources to achieve those goals. This is what we have seen. And in production and operations management, we clearly establish now what are our goals and how to achieve them. The goal of a typical for-profit organization is to make more and more money now as well as in the future. Very clear. Don't want to mince the words. The goal of a typical for-profit organization is to make more and more money today and tomorrow, now as well as in the future. And the necessary conditions for this are to provide satisfaction to the market. Because if we don't provide satisfaction to the market, no question of earning any money. So, to provide satisfaction to the market now as well as in the future, and to provide secure and satisfying environment to employees now as well as in future. And we have discussed all this earlier in our 16 chapters. Customer satisfaction, employee satisfaction. Employee involvement, satisfying environment to employees now as well as in future. These are the necessary conditions for making money today and tomorrow, making money now and in the future. In order to achieve the goal of the organization, operations person have to achieve goals which I am going to enlist now. And these goals are throughput increase. I am going to explain what is this throughput word. It is a new word, throughput. Throughput has to increase. Inventory has to be controlled. Operating expenses have to be controlled. Little new, little different concept. Productivity improvement. We have seen the work study and all that. Inventory turns have to increase. Reduction in throughput dollar days. What is throughput dollar days? I am going to explain in the coming sentences. Reduction in inventory dollar days. What is inventory dollar days? I am going to explain. Going to be very interesting chapter. Again I will read out. Throughput increase, inventory control, operating expenses control, productivity improvement, inventory turns increase, reduction in throughput dollar days, and reduction in inventory dollar days. Everything I will explain now. Throughput is the rate at which the system generates money, not production, please. Money. That means it is going to the end customer and he pays you money. Okay? Now, he pays you money, many customers pay you money, and then I say, okay, in last 1 hour, I have generated maybe 1,000 rupees. Or last minute, I have earned 10,000 rupees. Throughput is rate at which the system generates money. For example, if I manufacture some parts and lie in the inventory, that is not throughput. Throughput is it is actually sold to the end customer. For example, if I produce a car and I leave it at the dealer's end and it is lying there at the dealer's end, some people will consider that as throughput from the company. No. When the end customer like me actually buys the car actually pays the money to the company, that is the throughput. And the rate at which the system generates money through sales, some operations people feel that it is production. But no, it is actually sales. Throughput is equal to sales turnover, that means sales revenue minus truly variable costs. What are truly variable costs? The more is the production, more is the sale, more is the truly variable cost. Which are these truly variable costs? Raw material price, which varies with the production. Raw material price, subcontracting, purchase services, sales commission, customs duties are the truly variable costs, and the sales revenue minus truly variable costs such as raw material price, purchase services, etc., subcontracting, etc. Building to stock does not generate throughput. If I produce 1000 cars and they are lying in my stock, that is not the throughput. If I make 25,000 gears, 30,000 bearings and they are lying in my finished goods stock, it is not the throughput, unless it is really getting sold. Very clear concept. For example, if actual sale is 100 rupees and the truly variable costs are 30, then the throughput is 70. Very clear. In a supply chain, nobody has sold anything until the customer has bought it. End customer has bought it, then only it becomes the throughput. Then investment. We know many confusing definitions of investment, but here it is the money invested by the system in purchasing things and tied up in the organization. For example, I have bought some 1000 tons of material and it is lying in my inventory, raw material inventory. It is the investment. It includes inventory in the form of raw materials, inventory in the form of work in progress. It is not yet sold. It has not yet become the finished goods. It has not yet been sold. So, I have put the money, raw materials, work in progress, finished goods, investment in machinery, investment in building. Inventory must be controlled. So, investment is, I have spent my money and it is lying in the organization. In the form of raw material, in the form of work in progress, in the form of finished goods, it is lying there. What are the operating expenses? Earlier we discussed truly variable costs. No, operating expenses are all the money spent by the system to convert inventory into throughput is operating expense. It includes salaries, wages, fixed expenses, all other expenses. These are all operating expenses. However production we do 30,000 or we do 15,000, some workforce we have to employ and we have to pay them salaries. We have to do some fixed expenses such as rent, electrical bill, everything. So all these are operating expenses which are spent by the system to convert inventory into throughput. What is net profit? Throughput minus operating expenses. That is the net profit. If operating expenses are more, if fixed expenses are more, you make less profit. Then what is ROI, return on investment? Net profit, that is what is I discussed already, divided by investment. More the investment, more the money spent in building and this and that and machinery, your return on investment will be less. Whereas more your net profit, your return on investment will be more. Productivity is throughput, that means actual sales or money generated by the system divided by operating expenses. That is the productivity. More the operating expenses, your productivity will be low. then investment returns are throughput divided by investment. Now, I will explain to you throughput dollar days. For example, order number one, quantity is 100 rupees, quantity is 100 units. Sales value in dollars is $1,000. And the delivery is delayed by 2 days. Customer becomes very unhappy if you deliver late. This delivery is delayed by 2 days. That means the amount of 100 into 1000 or amount of $1,000 is delayed by 2 days is throughput dollar days are 2000. Here amount of 10,000 is delayed by 5 days is throughput dollar days is 50,000. And the amount of 5,000 is delayed by 10 days, also 50,000. So, sales value into delay number of days is called as throughput dollar days. So, in this particular case of 4 orders, the throughput dollar days are 1,22,000. This gives you your due date performance. That means, what is the order value, that is the sale value. How many days? For example, this is delayed by 10 days. So, more and more delay is there, more is the throughput dollar days value. And we must control this throughput dollar days value. Throughput dollar days value is real performance of due date performance, delivery performance, which must be as low as possible. CTT is customer tolerance time. For example, you go to a hotel, order a snack, you are expecting that it must come to you immediately. If possible, within seconds, it should come. So, your customer tolerance time is zero. For example, customer comes to your place and he says, I want the product within next 3 days. So, his tolerance time is 3 days only. Customer tolerance time, which is the interval between the customer had placed order and when he expects delivery. For example, he gives the order and he says, I want it in next 3 days. So, his CTT is only 3 days. Then, if he had placed an order for 1st February and expects delivery on 15th February, CTT is equal to 15. If CTT is longer than product lead time, for example, he needs in 3 days, but product lead time is 6 days. Then you cannot supply in 3 days because the lead time itself is 6 days. If CTT is longer than product lead time, then no finished goods inventory has to be kept. But in the other side, if the CTT is lower than the product lead time, you must keep some inventory so that you can supply the parts from the inventory because you are not able to produce in that customer tolerance time. So, you have to keep some inventory if CTT is or customer tolerance time is lower than your product lead time. You have to keep some inventory. Then, this becomes important. Look, finished product A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, quantity in excess of CTT, that much inventory you have to keep. But in excess of that CTT, if you keep 100 parts, 300 parts, 50 parts, 70 parts, and the sales price is 2,000, 150, 100, 500, so the total sales value becomes in first case 2 lakh, in other case 45,000, in third case 5,000, in fourth case 3,500, and so much value lies in your stock for 2 days. For 10 days, for 3 days, 20 days, it is lying in the stock, then the inventory dollar days becomes in first case 4 lakh 50,000, 15,000, 70,000, and total inventory dollar days, that means inventory more than CTT lies in your organization for so many days, so 9,35,000 is the inventory dollar days, which gives you your performance against inventory. Beautiful performance. The common undesirable effects are poor due date performance, long lead times, too high inventories, long payback periods, too much investment and long payback periods, too many customer complaints, which we know, and bad human relationships, which we have seen in the earlier chapter. These are the undesirable effects, which I call, given below, are result of variability in processes, skill levels of different people, and unpredictability of the vendor performance. Unpredictability of the vendor performance gives undesirable effects like this. And these undesirable effects we must reduce. Major causes of common undesirable effects are: the conventional approach says that there is a lot of variability in our processes. The consistency is very poor. The skill levels of different people are different. Vendor performance is awfully unpredictable. Local efficiency is used as prime measurement by many industries. What is local efficiency? For example, one machine is producing 1250 parts. That machine efficiency is considered as the performance. This is what normally people do. For example, one person is sitting there. He is working very, very efficiently. So he is rewarded because of his own efficiency. This is wrong. Departments try to maximize their performance as measured by turns per hour. More turns per hour, they consider that performance is better. But if it is lying in the inventory, then that is not the performance. Performance is whatever you produce should get sold. So, to measure the performance by turns per hour production is wrong. This is wrong way of performance measurement. Theory of constraints is one beautiful theory which has come, which says capacity management has to be done. A capacity constrained resource, that means in the series of operations, if there is a capacity constrained resource, if it is idle, then it is a waste. But a non-constrained resource, for example, it has double capacity than the requirement. If it is lying idle, nothing wrong in that. In fact, a non-constrained resource standing idle is a necessity. Because otherwise what it will do? It will produce unnecessary more production. We don't want unnecessary more production, and so capacity constrained resource must be utilized 100%, but non-constrained source standing idle is maybe a necessity requirement. This is what theory of constraints is. Resources standing idle are not necessarily a waste. Some resources which have very high capacity must remain idle for some time. Otherwise, they will overproduce. Sometimes resources not standing idle are the major cause of waste. If one wishes to avoid waste, we should stop resources from overproducing when the bank of work is full. When constraint is outside the operations, no resources can be outside utilized to 100%. For example, the constraint is lying with the supplier. He is not able to produce. Then, how can we utilize our resources to 100%? First off, he has to supply. He has to supply the operations. When the constraint is in operations, utilization of the bottleneck, utilization of the constraint machine dictates the throughput of the system. We have said that we must make more and more throughput. And throughput is always controlled by the constraint. So wherever is the constraint, it must be utilized 100%. And non-constrained machines must be allowed to just supply the material to the constraint. Non-bottleneck resources should not be judged according to their own efficiencies. For example, it's a non-bottleneck machine, Too much capacity is there. If I use that efficiently, then overproduction will be there. Inventory will be lying there. So, non-bottleneck resources should not be judged according to their own efficiency. In fact, work should be offloaded from the constraint only. For example, there is a constraint. It is not able to produce the throughput. We should offload that particular thing. We should not consider cost in that. For example, if the supplier is able to give in more, little more cost, okay, give that cost to him, give that price to him, because throughput is more important than the cost of that offloading. Gain in throughput is important. What? Because throughput is the money generated. If you are able to increase the throughput by offloading the parts, do it, even if little more cost is there. Return on investment should be calculated considering change in throughput and not by cost concept. There is no point in making more investment and reducing setup time in a non-constraint. It is a waste of time. The work ethics, current ethics at work forces people to look busy. Somehow, do something. Continuously do something. Look busy. Not necessary. The theory of constraint suggests that resources need to follow the roadrunner rule. For example, when one has work as fast as possible, and we don't have any work, don't do any work. Wait for the work to come. The TOC work ethic resolves the problem faced by downstream resources. For example, there is a concept called as drum, buffer and rope. What is drum? Drum is the constraint machine. For example, in this chain, 150 pieces per hour is the machine which is a constraint machine. Now, here the machines are able to produce 180 pieces per hour, 200 pieces per hour. So, the material should be supplied only as per 150 pieces per hour only. Otherwise, if we supply more raw material, it will be lying in the inventory. So, drum is the important thing. Keep only buffer so that drum never idles. And the moment the buffer goes down, then only the raw material should be supplied to the line. So that the ultimate objective is the drum should always be busy. So that we definitely make the production at the rate of 150 pieces per hour. And if you want more, then offload the constraint. Offload that production. A central benefit of DBR is to change the production process from push to pull. That means we must pull the production through the line as per the customer need. The DBR system is designed to regulate the flow of WIP through a production line at or near the full capacity of the constraint in the manufacturing chain. Drum is the constraint, rather the schedule of the constraint of the production system. What should dictate what one should work for? Drum, what the market wants, what the organization is able to deliver. The drum is the key for synchronization of work of all other resources. Considerations for sequencing the work are which order is more important. That should be run on the drum. Which product requires more lead time? That should be done on the drum. From constraint till shipping, which takes more time? That should be run on the drum. What inventory is already in front of the constraint, that should be run on the drum. Setup requirement of the constraint should decide what should be run on the drum. Then what is the buffer? Buffer is the time. How much time the constraint machine will run? Within that time, the raw material must be supplied. It is not the stack of WIP, but it is the time. Buffer is a setup time interval. Set time interval the time interval material is released before the constraint needs it. That means constraint needs the material at 6 o'clock. Then when the material is supplied to the first operation, that time is the considered as the buffer. Buffer is the protective mechanism against common variation of uncertainty. It is used to overcome the common fluctuations. Three possible buffers are constraint buffer, assembly buffer, and shipping buffer. Rope. Rope is essentially a communication device that connects the constraint to the material release point. For example, constraint needs the material at 6 o'clock. Then rope will get the information that at 4 o'clock, the material should be supplied to the first operation so that within 2 hours, the drum gets the material. I will read out. The rope is essentially a communication device that connects the constraint to the material release point and ensures that raw material is released into production process at the rate of the constraint. Rate of the constraint was 150 pieces per hour. And what is the buffer constraint? That time material is exactly supplied to the line, production line. The purpose of the rope is to protect the constraint from being flooded. The constraint machine should not get flooded, otherwise it will lie in the inventory. Rope also implies that one should not release the work before the schedule. Even if there are work centers without any work, it happens that before the drum, the machines are idling. Let them idle. If the drum doesn't need or constraint doesn't need the material should not be released. If the machines are idling, let them idle. Many times, non-constrained machines idling can be a necessity also. So, this is the drum buffer rope thinking, that constraint needs 25. Here is the capacity 75, here is the capacity of 45. Non-constrained machine, constrained machine. So, constrained machine needs 25, so rope gets the order so that it gives them 25 pieces per work hour. This is near constraint, this is non-constraint. So, drum beat will be there. The moment this needs the material, the information will go to the first machine, rope. Continuous flow at small batch stage sizes is better. Disruption to flow comes from variability and uncertainty. It is not practical to eliminate all disruptions to flow in a system. Balancing capacity in exercise is in futility. It is expensive and difficult. It is neither possible nor desirable to attain high levels of local efficiency everywhere in the manufacturing chain all the time. So, step necessary to implement the DBR, identify the constraint in the line, identify the constraint, choose the size of the buffer, tie the rope. So, buffer management is to check whether the due dates or availability are threatened, to validate whether the buffer's use are about right, to absorb minor deviations, to reveal and warn us about the major threats. Buffer is a liberal estimate in terms of time. In order to manage the buffers, give a suitable signal for action. We divide it into 3 equal zones. Zone 3 is the top end of the buffer. Many orders consume it. It is also called as green zone. So, as long as the buffer is in the green zone, no worries. But generally, this gets consumed. Then buffer zone 2 is the middle of the buffer. Variability and uncertainty occasionally consume part or this entire segment. It is also referred to as yellow zone. As long as buffer is in yellow zone, again tensions are not very much there. But zone 1 is the bottom of the buffer. That means buffer is almost coming to zero. So zone 1 is the bottom of the buffer. Any penetration of this zone, that is red buffer, we have to put the danger flag. That means, look, the buffer is in the zone 1, it is also referred to as red zone, and then we have to immediately raise the flag and supply the material to the first machine. The situation where an order is not at the protected site, that means constraint, assembly, shipping, it is referred to as hole in the buffer. For example, there is a constrained machine and it is idling. There is no material at the constrained machine. It is considered as a hole in the buffer. That means zone 3, zone 2, zone 1 and hole. We must work in a system such that there are no holes in the buffer. Then simplified drum buffer rope is generally market is the real constraint. Market, there are delays in getting the order. So actually we must keep some buffer at shipping so that the moment order comes, immediately it is supplied from the buffer. Capacity constraint resource typically is the internal constraint that you identified while implementing DBR. In SDBR, shipping buffer is the only buffer and it encompasses the entire production time plus the required pad for uncertainty and variation. Post SDBR, one needs to release the material shipping buffer time ahead of the delivery due date. So, my friends, please go through all these 17 chapters and understand what are your goals and try to make your organization more and more productive, more and more efficient, more and more economical, earn more and more money, gain the confidence of the customers, gain the confidence of the employees and become successful in your life. So with that, I conclude the subject of production and operations management. Thank you.